Hello, welcome to the Believer's Toolbox. Today, we continue our series on the ABCs of redemption. For the last two episodes, we've been talking about what it is to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be redeemed? What are the essential things you need to understand about redemption? You know, as a new believer, and if you're just coming to the faith, one of the fundamentals that you must understand or you must have a good knowledge of is redemption, or what it means to be saved now that you are born again. You're going to meet your friends, you're going to meet your loved ones, you're going to meet family members who are going to ask you questions. Oh, so you're different from us. So now you feel you are changed. What happened to you? Or are you just going to church? Are you just being religious? You know, those kind of questions will keep coming up. And I face those questions. And I believe that these episodes, this number of episodes are going to help you in the whole series. It's going to help you to understand what it means to be saved. And what does redemption mean? And you will be able to answer those questions and clear the doubts of people around you. With this simple knowledge. Praise God. Let's share a word of prayer before we go into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you grant us light, you grant us revelation knowledge, you grant us understanding, that Lord, we will be able to understand what it means to be saved, what redemption means, and we will be able to apply it and also teach others, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's go to our key text, Romans chapter 3, from verse 23 to 25. I'm reading the NIV version, the New International Version. It reads, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely." Look at the word, justified freely, "by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." There is no other means or other method that there is redemption. There is no form of redemption anywhere else. It has to be in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus. And most importantly, the redemption is free. The redemption is free. You don't have to work for it because Jesus worked for it. You don't have to suffer for it because Jesus suffered for it. You know, some religions tell you have to pay for your sins. You have to recompense for the mistakes you've made. The Bible lets us know that Jesus paid for our sins. That payment was done in Christ Jesus. And we're establishing that in that series. There is no other form of redemption but that which is in Christ Jesus. And it has to be free. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing again you can pay. There's nothing again you owe the devil. There's nothing again you owe Satan. Jesus paid it all. Verse 25, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith." Oh, hallelujah. "He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished." This atonement, this sacrifice, has to be received by faith. You have to receive it by faith. You can't receive it by feelings. You know, as a young believer, when you just come to the faith, some days you feel this high ecstasy of God's love around you. You are so excited. Sometimes you're emotional. Sometimes you're in tears. You can feel the presence of God around you. And sometimes you don't feel it. Maybe you did something wrong and suddenly you feel God is far away from you. No, that is not it. That feeling is not from God. And that's why you have to receive it by faith. You have to receive redemption by faith and keep it by faith. When I mean keep it, keep that understanding. Maintain your stand that you'll be redeemed by faith and nothing else. Because I can assure you, those feelings will go sometimes. Sometimes those emotions might not be there. I remember when I just got saved, and I had this relationship with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I could feel His presence all around me, and all of that. And one day we were on summer break in university, and I went home, and suddenly for weeks I couldn't feel that presence. I couldn't feel that ecstasy. And I said, what has gone wrong? Have I lost my salvation? No, I didn't lose it. I just need to understand that I received redemption by faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, today we're going to narrow down on something. And let me read a scripture to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, in the same way, death came to all people because all sinned. Therefore, just as sin entered the world, don't forget our first episode, we read how Adam and Eve fell, how they disobeyed God and ate the fruits that they were told not to eat. And that's how sin came into the world. And in episode 2, we talked about how sin began to rule because the heart of man had become desperately wicked. Man now had an evil conscience, an evil spirit in him. You know, his spirit was now separate from God. His spirit was no more holy. And the Bible says that just as sin entered the world through one man, don't forget the one man, Adam, and death through sin. So sin came in and death came in. Every time you see death, right? You see death, know that sin had been ruling. And in the same way, death came to all people because all sinned. So I want you to understand that no man can escape. No man born of a woman can escape sin except through Christ Jesus. Because as long as you're in this world, you are in one shape or form a descendant of Adam. And if you're a descendant of Adam, then sin. You were born in sin. But then look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And this is where I want to take you to. Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. Romans 12 talked about sin coming to the world through one man. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 is letting us know that salvation is found in no one else. So we are looking at two men now. Two men. One, sin came through that one. Another one, salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind which must be saved. Adam, one man. Jesus, another man. Sin came through Adam. Salvation is found in Jesus. Sin came through no other means but through Adam. Salvation is found through no other means but in Jesus. I hope you're getting me. Two men, two different experiences. One, the consequence of disobedience. The other one, the produce, the reward of obedience. Because Jesus obeyed and went to the cross, we now have salvation in Him. You know, one of the things I want to establish is that there is no other means you can get salvation. You know, one of the questions that we find in this new age is that, are there no many other means to God? Hey, you go to your church. I serve God in my own way. You hear that a lot of times. Hey, I'm not religious, but I have a connection with God. Yet things like, oh, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. What does that really mean? When you say you are not religious, but you're spiritual, what does it really mean? You have a connection to God. Are you sure about that? Are you really sure? Or is it just a fantasy in your mind? It's just a wish in your mind? Because the Bible lets us know that there's no salvation in any other but Jesus. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, the NIV version says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. The International Children's Bible, which I really appreciate, says this: there's only one God, and there's only one way that people can reach God. That way is through Jesus Christ, who is also a man. There is only one way. So this question of there are so many ways to God, no. It might sound harsh. It might sound politically not correct. It might sound not being inclusive. But the truth is this. The Bible lets us know that there is only one God and there's only one way that people can reach God. So when you say things like, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, I have connection to God, how are you connecting with God? Where is that connection coming from? How did you get that connection? Because if that connection is not through Jesus, then it's not to God. Then you really don't have a connection with God. The way is through Christ Jesus. The way, that way, there is only one way. You know, imagine you build a house or you build a structure, maybe a warehouse. There are no windows. There's no other form of entrance, just one door. How would you get access into the house? You have to go through just that one door. So if you say you want to have access to the house or to the warehouse, and you're trying to, you're going to make your own door? And that's what people are trying. People are trying to create their own means or their own channels to God. You can't do that. God has given us the way. We can't go and make our own way to God. It's not possible. See, these are the fundamentals of redemption that you must understand as a child of God, so that you don't get perturbed or disturbed by your friends or peer pressure. Praise God. Praise God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. It says, heaven can be entered. The Living Bible says this. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gates. Only. See again, the is definite. There are no options. You know, one of the things you need to get established in your heart as a child of God, there are no other options. There are no alternatives to Jesus. No options. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Oh, glory to God. And its gates is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its way. But the gateway to life is small. The road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. What an interesting scripture. Let's break it down. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. So the gate is narrow. The highway to hell is broad. So when we say things like that, we have options. There are options to Christianity. There are options to Jesus. There are options to being born again. Are there really options? Anything, you know, once you are giving lots of options, you know that's not the way. It says the highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes. All the options you think you have, the Bible says it's a highway to hell. It's a highway to hell. You know, in Canada here, we have different highways. You know, highways are quite very good roads, 3-4 lanes sometimes. You can go at very fast speed, which you cannot go when you are driving in the city. In the city, you can go 50 kilometers per hour, 60 kilometers per hour, max 70 kilometers per hour. But on the highway, some highways in Canada, we can do 110. Some even go above it. You know, but the Bible says, highway is fast, man. The highway is fast. If you're saying you have options to Jesus, you're on the highway and you're moving very fast. But your destination is hell. Praise God. Praise God. It says it's wide enough. It's wide enough. You know, some say, oh, you're being myopic. You are not being broad. You are not thinking wide. You're not expanding your thoughts. You're not looking at other options. No, I'm not looking at other options. Because there are no other options. We have just one. No alternatives. It's only Jesus. Praise God. But the gateway to life is small. Verse 14. And the road is narrow. Only a few ever find it. Be among the few. That's why I bring to you Jesus to you today. I bring you Jesus to you today. Praise God. As we narrow down on Jesus being the only option, I want to show you something very significant about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 16. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Verse 26. During Elizabeth's 6 months, I'm reading the New Century Version. Luke 1, 26 to 38, the New Century Version. This is a story of two women. One 60 years old, the other a teenager. Two women very important in the story about our Lord Jesus. And we're going to see how important and how Jesus is special. Why there are no options. Luke chapter 1, 26. It says, during Elizabeth's 6 months of pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph from the family of David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, the Lord has blessed you and is with you." But Mary was very startled by what the angel said and wondered what these greetings might mean. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has shown you his grace." Verse 31. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of King David, his ancestor. He will rule over the people of Jacob, and his kingdom will never end. Please listen to verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen since I am a virgin?" She was engaged to a man, Joseph. She had not had sexual intercourse. They were not yet married. And now the angel appeared to her and said, "You are going to be pregnant. You're going to give birth to a special child. His name will be Jesus. Mary was confused. She said to the angel, how will this happen? Since I'm a virgin, it's not normal for you to have a child without having a sexual intercourse, without having a partner. And verse 35, the angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will cover you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will cover you. For this reason, the baby will be holy and will be called the Son of God. The answer to a question of being a virgin, not meeting a man, the angel gave her the answer. He said, how is this going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will cover you. For this reason, the baby will be holy. So Jesus was a child of the Holy Ghost. This is the first time anyone born after Adam is called holy. Don't forget, every other person, the first scripture we read in Romans chapter 5, everyone born of a man was born in sin. Now the angel is saying that this one that will be born is going to be holy because he's a child of the Spirit. He's not a produce of a man and a woman coming together. He's not the result of sexual intercourse. If you know a bit of science, you know that the egg comes from the woman and the sperm comes from the man. So there was no man to produce sperm, to give sperm to the woman. The woman carried the child of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to the next one. Now Elizabeth, your relative, is also pregnant with a son. Though she's old, everyone thought she could not have a baby. But she had been pregnant for 6 months. Oh boy. Verse 37. God can do anything. God can do it. Let me tell you something. Elizabeth was 60, called barren. No one thought she could have children. The Bible, the angel appeared to her. If you read the verses in the chapter earlier, the angel appeared to her and her husband and told them they were going to have a child. His name was going to be John, and he was also a special child. In fact, he was the cousin of Jesus. But this one, she was 60. She had a husband, but they still had difficulties in having children. But by the power of God, they conceived. She conceived at age 60, which was way past the time women give birth. That was a miracle. That was a very, very big miracle. But the Bible lets us know that there was a greater miracle. And that was the one that there was no sperm, there was no relationship between a man and a woman. And that is what produced Jesus. Jesus came by the power of the Holy Ghost. For Mary was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you might ask the question, is this possible? Is this real? How can this happen? Nobody can explain this. Science can explain this. But one thing is for sure. The Bible says, the angel said to her, God can do anything. I might not be able to explain it. You might not be able to explain. You know, many people are trying to find logic around Jesus and his birth and him being the savior of the world. Many people are trying to interpret it mentally, you know, very intellectual about it. I'm sorry to say, you will never be able to explain it intellectually, because this is a work of the Holy Ghost. This is a miracle. This is the power of God in action. This is only what God can do. And the angel said, God can do anything. That settles it. So stop trying to explain to people how Jesus is intellectually. You might not be able to explain it intellectually. I will never be able to explain it scientifically, but I can explain it through the scripture. And the scripture lets us know that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and the power of the Most High covered her, and that produced the Holy One, Jesus. Glory to God. That's the only answer I need. That's the only answer you need to tell your friends. Stop trying to explain it with intellect and science and trying to go to do all the research. It's just a wasted effort. This is only the answer you need. God can do anything. God can do anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's begin to wind down. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, the New King James Version, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. For God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the mission of Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. No. He came to save the world. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. You can see Jesus is not condemning the world, and that's why we never preach a message of condemnation to anyone. No, because if you've not received Jesus, you are condemned already. What brings you out of condemnation is you receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is you receiving what Jesus has done for you on the cross. That's what gets you out of condemnation. Just the way man was born in sin, man is born into condemnation. To come out of condemnation, you have to receive Jesus to come out. You have to receive Jesus to come out. It's like Saul incarcerated, right? It's in prison. What gets him out of prison is probably maybe a pardon. For example, if he gets a pardon, that pardon gets him out of prison. Praise God. Verse 18, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, what condemns people is their refusal of believing in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and what Jesus came to do. What is condemning people? What is sending people to hell is the refusal of Jesus. Not God sending them to hell. It's the refusal of what Jesus did on the cross. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. And whoever is listening to me right now, do not love darkness above light, because their deeds were evil. Praise God. Praise God. John chapter 3, verse 34 to 36. He says, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects, say the word again, rejects. There are no options. If you reject the Son, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. It's the rejection of Jesus that brings the wrath of God. It's the rejection of Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, the NIV, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's why I bring you this message. I bring you the message of my Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Run away from that condemnation by receiving Jesus. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin. Which other religious leader have you heard that was made sin for man? Which other religious leader have you heard that died for man? It's only Jesus. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Of God in Christ Jesus. Today, do you want to receive Jesus into your heart? Do you want to receive the finished work of Jesus? Do you want to make Jesus your Lord and your personal Savior? In the Bible, says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that the Lord raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, the Voice translation puts it this way. So if you believe deep in your heart that God raised Jesus from the pit of death, and if you voice your allegiance by confessing the truth, Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. Receiving Jesus and being saved is by faith and faith alone. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you were made sin for me. And I believe that when you resurrected, you gave me life. Today, I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior, and come into my heart and give me a new life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. If you made this prayer, I'd like you to go to our website. You're going to get all the episodes and all previous series, and send us an email and we'll reach out to you and we'll give you materials that will help you grow spiritually. God bless you, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Believer's Toolbox.